Before we go into this, let me just mention about next session on witnesses. As you can see, we're getting into it. We'll find that witnesses' roles and the sentences are all kind of intertwined and overlap. But I'll do the presentation of what's in the chapter, and they have an example or two that we can play with. But I'd be very grateful if any of you have used witnesses in your own programs, perhaps in ways beyond the census, which we use where you have, for example, a number of people who have shown up at weddings or burials and use them as witnesses, or you have the members of your family who were on the same ship that immigrated together, or use it for one of those other purposes, and could demonstrate for us how you did that, or how you might do it if you wanted to use the witness option. So that's something coming up for next month, and I'm hopeful that Mike is going to be able to do the goals the following month.
If anybody else wants, I'll be glad to do it.
And after that, we'll have John Clark on the box charts. That's in June, and then we'll go probably for the last three chapters of Terry Riegel's book. If you have any thoughts about what you would like to see in our programs coming up, please let me know. And if you want to volunteer your expert knowledge about any aspect of TMG,
no,
we need
are not required. Yeah. Become an expert.
Become an expert or whatever. Because as Jan has been saying this morning, a lot of what we're going over in the case of sentences, for example, is the kind of basic. And there are a lot more ways that we can explore these different subjects. So keep that in mind, please, as we go forward. We are going to need more ideas and more presenters as we move into the fall. Okay, thank you.
Okay, this is the site from you, Mike, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm like. You ready to go?
Yeah, hold on just a second.
RootsandThreads.com. RootsandThreads.com. Up here at the top.
But then you need /TMG to get to.
Yeah, you can navigate.
Oh, really? Yeah. How do you get to that? I couldn't find it, that's why.
I Googled Deanna Bernhardt, and it's a link on the Holy Genes Forum, this site right here, and that's how I got to it.
Okay, but if you notice the tail end of that Roots and Threads, it's /TMG, okay, and when you, because when you go to the other one, you only get her family, you don't get the TMG info. And so then you just scroll down, and there's a little neat little thing called a cheat sheet. And she's got them in PDF and in Word.
Clyde,
switch to me. I'm on it.
Jan said that she wasn't able to get it off of the website, and it just comes up as a blank. It's in the index. But when you go to the page, it's right.
No, I wasn't sure. I hadn't tried our website, so.
Yeah, and I did.
And it doesn't work? Okay. Well, she moved her location, so that's why. So what happens is, this is what it looks like in Word, and it has all the little variables. It also has neat things like what the function keys mean, some of the shortcut keys, like doing Control P to get to the person view and Control T to get to the tree view. Here, when it talks about roles, you put R colon and then whatever it is. So if it's bride or groom or spouse, that kind of stuff. and then all these other formatting codes are in here, which I'm going to cover later. So, but it is great, and it comes in PDF and in Word, and they're she also has the source elements on the second page now, which she didn't used to have. I think I've only ever really used the first page. Show you. I figure out how to. You know, I open it from within. And then she has some report ones, which are kind of cool too. So, settings she uses for different reports. So. And she's really good, so. Okay. You can also get to it. That's the tail end here. You can get to it from Lee Hoffman's site as well. I'm assuming it's pointing you to the same thing, but if she's updated it, it might be different. I'll get to it at the end, but let me just go back to here and try putting it in. If you go to Lee Hoffman's TMG Tips site, and then you just scroll down to Deanna. Okay, here. There it is, that way. Oh, there is her homepage. Okay, so it would have worked there as well. So, I just clicked on the wrong thing. I don't know what happened. Okay. All right, we were at places and prepositions. Any more questions about places and prepositions? Memo. This is the B. And we're going to cover adding memo to a tag as one of our exercises. Most of the TMG standard default sentences do not include the memo variable. So to the extent you put bunches of information into the memo that you want to see in a sentence, you have to do something to your sentence or you're not going to get it, unless you choose one of those report options, which is to embed the memo information in your sentence. I'm sorry? Yeah, so, you know, you're not going to get it in your sentence as part of the sentence unless you put your memo variable in the sentence. You can be, you know, you can craft it carefully so that you can tack it on at the end and it still sounds okay by using that function in the report options to include your memo, embed your memo information in your report. But this is the way to get it in with more certainty and with more certainty as to what it's going to look like. And in the right location and everything, because the other way you can only tack it on at the end. It's a great way too, and the example we're going to use is a death tag so that you can add a memo so you can say, you know, what they died of or whatever else you want to say. There's a couple that have it. I wanted to look at Terry's list here. Hang on. Of course, I moved from it, right? Is criminal one of, yeah, it is. See, criminal has an M. It is a criminal tag that came with TMG. Okay. And then there's the anecdote tag and the miscellaneous tag, which use the M. When you look at the anecdote tag, back up here, excuse me, slowly, it's just M. So for those of you who want to just put M in and type everything into the memo, you can use an anecdote tag, or you can create a custom tag that is just M instead of memo. And you can put everything into your memo tag. You don't have to worry about learning all these variables. All you got to do is type it into your memo and have the memo as your sentence variable, and it's all there.
Herbie Hollins would be proud of you.
No, you can do it that way.
I know, but he does it. Yeah.
And even more interestingly enough, you could do it that way and still use variables if you want to, because you can put variables into the memo field. The same things are there. So you can say, you know, all that. One of the advantages to that approach, and one of the disadvantages, is you'd have to do that on every memo, which is a real pain in the, you know what? It kind of defeats the whole purpose of having a program that takes away some of the burden of writing all the sentences. But if you do that, the memo information does export in GEDCOM. So all of that information will go into a memo for whatever the tag is when you export it to GEDCOM. That program won't have a clue what to do with it. Okay? But it's there, and the information, if you had this wonderful elaborate sentence, it would be there in a GEDCOM export. Whereas the sentence structures that you're typing into where it says sentence structure, that stuff doesn't go out in GEDCOM. Okay. The bottom one is critical. You always want to add it with the conditional variable, because that way, if you don't have the information, you're not going to get the unknown, whatever it is. I can't remember which unknown it is. What was it back here? Unknown. Unknown value with parentheses is what you get if you don't have the conditional variables around your memo. So you almost always, when you're playing with variables, you're better off sticking conditional variables around it. P, you better not. You don't need to, because if you don't have a P, you don't have a tag. So so you don't have to worry about it for P. Witness memos, basically do the same thing as the memos for the principal. When you have a witness, it'll use the memo from the principal. Let me go back into CMDA. I can show you this. It's harder to explain. This sentence here, the way it's set up in TMG is he doesn't have, I don't know why it says default, okay. He does not have a memo variable in here for the sentence. It's just going to say P and PO appeared on the sentence of D and L. And all this information that you've put in here about the witnesses is not going to show up, and all this information that you put in here in the memo tag is not going to show up unless you check that box on the report options that says embed the memo information in your sentence. Okay? The way to add it in is you've got to figure out how you want to add it in. Let's just try. I'm just going to put the M in. Make it easier. Okay. Punctuation. You would have to remember when you're doing this, okay, that there's a period in front of this M. You could just put the M in there and then put the period in your memo. Okay.
Close the old bracket.
Yeah, you got to close the old bracket. I'm going to get a mess. No, actually, let me show you what I get. It'll come back and tell me something's messed up.
So you change the period
out? Cancel. I don't want to copy anything. That was a mess. So. Okay, let's just close this bracket up here. Okay, now what happens when you have a tag that has two principles on it? In TMG 7, they added the ability to have different sentences for the two different principles. And so you have to actually pick which principle sentence you're working on. And when you make a change, it's going to ask you if you want to use the exact same sentence for the other principle. And if you do, fine, do it. If you don't, then say no and then go into the other one and change that however you want it. And a lot of people want to do it that way so that you don't have the exact same sentence for both of them. It gets quite monotonous. Copy to the other principle. No. Okay, so you can see down here. Let me do. It even shows you P1, this is their sentence, and P2, you can tell that it's still the old default sentence, or whatever that sentence was, because it doesn't look like the default on Terry's list, on Lee's default list, but it's the default under that version of the sample database. Okay.
So, Janice, you remove the period in it in a sentence. You don't leave that in.
What happens is TMG automatically puts period at the end and strips trailing spaces. Unless you want to use one of the special characters that was created for TMG 7. And I think I cover that later. If I don't, it's in the 2008 presentation I did. There's a whole bunch more stuff in there that I took out of this one because we were trying to stay basic. Now, let's take this, and what happens if we print it or look at it in the preview, okay? Down here, you've got two character terms, so roll it down. Okay, and then all this stuff gets added afterwards. Now, starting with 41, that's not what you really want to say, right? So, you need to go back in and either fix your memo or fix your sentence to say what you want it to say. So, the household included, the followed. Okay. Remember, when you're typing in your memo, you don't have to just type into this little block. You can click on memo and open the whole thing up. See what happens here. I included one of the characters, one of the formatting characters, which is the indent, which is also was new in TMG 7. And we'll see what happens when we print it. Okay. Who knows what I'm doing to this thing, right? Individual narrative. I've got to get rid of all those footnotes and things here. None. This is where you would specify the memo, okay, if you don't have it in your sentence. the memo setting, when you're running your report, you go into the report options, and I could show you that real quick. Go to, you know, run your report, go down to options, and then go to memo. And you would, if you don't have memo in your sentence, the only way to get it in your sentence is to click embed, and it'll take all of the memos. That's the problem. It's universal. It'll take all your memos and tack them on to the end of the sentence.
What's the difference between with parentheses and not with parentheses?
One has parentheses around the whole thing that you're stuffing in there, and one doesn't.
What that means that when you write your memo, you put it...
No, it actually will embed it with parentheses around it, so you have a chance of knowing that that's my memo.
But that's your memo.
Right.
It'll show up looking like that.
Right, it'll show up
okay.
at the end of the sentence with parentheses around it. Whereas if you just embed it, it shows up at the end of the sentence.
James, is that the only way to get the
biographies
to consider
the
memo?
Unless you... I just want to take it.
The biography field already has the biographies.
It will print them without that. Okay, the only way to get... The only way to get information that's in the memo field... If there's no M in your sentence,
okay?
And notice under memos, it says memos that are not included in the sentence. So the way to get all that information out, so if you want to do a big data dump, so you've got everything printed somewhere with all those memos that you really don't want in your sentences, but at least you've got a backup of it somewhere with all that stuff in it. That would be a way to do it. But you can also put them in the footnotes. You can put them in the endnotes. You can do, you know, you don't have to clutter up your sentences. But you can. Okay, let me click OK so I can create a report. See what we did to him. Should pick somebody with no life. He's got too many things. I thought I got rid of EndNotes. Okay. Well, that doesn't seem to have printed anything. Why did that not work? Okay. Which one did I do? Census 1880, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. Oh, you know what? I bet you anything this report is limited to... Do a journal... I'm going to run just two generations so we can see what happens here. Create report. Okay. Here's. I sent it to RTF. Interestingly enough, it did not indent. I'm not sure why. That's bizarre. That character code is supposed to indent.
Well, you canceled before you closed it instead of the file.
I did. Did I? Let's see. Oh, you can tell on the memo. Hang on. You're right. I did. Well, picky. Format. Indent left only. Okay. approved. I wish I had my tool, custom toolbar. I could easily do this with the repeat. I'm just going to make it one generation too long. Okay, go. Okay. Ha ha! As it said, the indent only works for word processing, so I had to send this one actually to a word processor in order to demonstrate it. Okay, what happened and what I ended up with, because I only did the one generation the second time, oh, this obviously has the blank lines checked as well. Let me show you on the report one more time. I'll show you what happens when you don't have something checked or something changed. You go to all these witnesses have this tag, and if you check, I'm going to embed them, okay? Right, that sounds like a good idea. If you have the memo in and then you still embed, for witnesses, you can end up with all of that memo in each witness as well, because you put the memo in the principal and then you added it with that option in your report setting. So let's run it real quick. You can see what happens. You have to go down to these guys in the second generation. One more down here. Come on, here we go. There they are. After them, it's saying they appeared in the census, and then each of those kids is going to have the same little block, which does end up getting rather repetitive. Okay, and the way to get rid of that, but still keep your settings, is to include something called the M0. That's a zero, not an O. It has to be in conditional brackets. And if you put that in your witness sentence, for example, then it won't go back and pick up the memo from the main tag. So that's the way to clean up all of those, all these ones that have this over and over and over and over again.
Why do you put the condition around the M? Just like you say the M.
The reason you put the conditional brackets around the M is, what if you didn't have anything in the memo field? If you didn't type anything in the memo field and you didn't have the conditional brackets around...
But you wouldn't put the M on there if you didn't have anything you want to show.
No, but if you want to change your sentence globally, okay, and add M, for example, to your depth tag, okay, which was the example I was going to give you, then whenever you have more information you want to put in, all you do is type it into your memo and it will go into your sentence. And if you don't, because you have the conditional brackets around it, you'll still get a good sentence out of it, and it won't say unknown variable or unknown whatever it is that you get. Okay. Punctuation is... I didn't look back at this. This is left over from the other one, and it's probably way. I mean, there's all sorts of rules for it. It strips the end of the trailing spaces and puts a period at the end. I've very very rarely seen it put in two periods. So if your memo ends in a period, it won't add a period. Okay. Commas, they're placed after the location field when it's L. Okay. unless it's the end of the sentence. This one is my comment. If you put punctuation in your sentence structure after the L, I have found it seems to negate them putting a comma in. It always puts in commas if you've got a list of people, if you use the WO, which is all the other witnesses. That's going to be in a witness sentence. It'll put in all those commas automatically for all the legitimate people who are the witnesses on that text. And for the parents, it puts in the son of. And I have to say, when I stuck in that PAR variable, it looked to me like they were now adding the comma after. So we'll have to look at that because that's one of our exercises anyway. So this may have to be changed. I think there were some people who had a question about this, and I think there is now a comma before and a comma after. But we'll check that. Okay? You'll note, and I can show you this. It doesn't seem to matter when you're putting in your variables whether you have this space in the middle here. These little spaces in between. It does in the text part, but putting spaces between the variables doesn't seem to matter. It seems to always, TMG always knows to put a space between the variables. So even if you didn't put it in your sentence when you typed it in and you had an angle bracket, no space, and then the next variable, it wouldn't run them all together. It would add the extra.
Jan, could you go back to that display, bring up the sentence in that last column?
Okay.
You know, it says that sentence is the default, and yet it has the A in it, and I don't...
Okay, the sentence is the default global sentence for this project, okay? So it isn't the original default. It's what you made it, or I made it, or somebody else made it when they worked on the sample project, and then we used somebody's sample project to start this whole exercise.
It wasn't the original default, it was the constructed default.
Right, the original sentence for, and this is sentence, so there isn't an original sentence. Somebody created it to start with. Unless there is one. Is there one for census? Yeah, that's the original is not like that. It's P and PO appeared on the census of DL. That's it. That's the original sentence. Obviously, it's been modified a significant amount.
Jan, what's that straight, just a straight line here?
Okay. One of the neat things about TMG is there are several ways to have alternate information. So, for example, here I'm trying to think what the good example is. If you use a character like that in this situation, it'll add in the text that is from that straight up and down character. It'll add in and PO. So it kind of works the same way as just putting it in brackets, but it's a conditional so that if there isn't a PO, none of that happens. The one that's really cool is the living versus not living. You could actually have different sentence structures for if somebody was living in a, or lived, so if they're dead. But you have to go into health and dig through that stuff.
This one would be, if one of the parents was not alive, then it would not take the ultimate.
Yeah, but and I'm not sure if one of the parents
wasn't entered,
you wouldn't need to have anything but conditional brackets. So I'm not sure why it's used here. Usually it's used for two different sentence structures, so you end up with he appears, or I'm still using the living example. You might use a plural for a verb after, if you've got two people in the sentence instead of a singular, if you've got one in the sentence. So you would have a verb after this, perhaps, that would be different for the plural. I don't know.
So what do you take it that this actually means, this particular the bar and Theo, does this mean that it will not appear if there is no second principle?
Right. The whole thing, the whole phrase will not appear if there isn't a second principle. And what will appear is what in front of the bar. Okay, that's what the bar is for, so that if what's in here is there, then everything in this part will print. And usually there's text in front of it, too. Okay, so if that would print, or that would print.
And the reason you need the bar is for the and. If you didn't have the and concern, then you could just have the conditional brackets for PO.
You could also, in my opinion, just do conditional bracket and PO. Thank you. How do I use it?
You don't even need the bracket. I mean the bar.
There.
It's a little there on the back.
Okay. Now, in my opinion, because this has nothing in front, it kind of defeats the purpose. What it's really for is this conditional bracket. Anything in front of it will print with it when it's just P, and anything behind it will print when there's a P up. Okay, that's what it's for. When you got nothing there, you might as well just have conditional brackets around ENPO, in my opinion. Because it goes away, and that's all that you were getting anyway.
But why put it in? If there's nothing there, why?
If this is a global sentence.
Right, if it's a global sentence, it matters. Okay? And for example, I'm going to try and. I think this one works. It would be P was living at, or P and P O were living at. Okay, so your sentence would go, the up and down character is the key above the enter key. You just click shift, and that is how you get to that. Okay. NPO were. I'm going to put it inside all the way. Now, it's not going to show up properly in your preview because it doesn't know what's going to happen in your sentence. Okay, so you can't figure that sucker out. We're going to print. I'm sorry, did I miss something?
Extra angle bracket.
Thank you. No. Okay, let's go back over here. Yep, you're right. Okay, there we go. Frank was living. That's why I couldn't figure it out, because I didn't have the right stuff there. Okay. And then if you add in a principal, what's his wife's name? Oh, hang on, that's easy. Hang on. Yeah, Keebler. What is it?
Number two
is? This resident tag with nothing in it, right? Crap. It's gone. I thought I clicked OK. Filter for tags of this type. Isn't that supposed to work? Filter for tags of this type. Resume. Okay, now we can find it. There it is. Perhaps. Well, silly. Where did it go? Well, we'll just fix it. We'll move it. Okay. Well, what do we want it to say? Let me give it away. Sorry about that. Obviously, must have. Okay. He okay. So we've got this preview here, and then we're going to add her. I'm going to put Delilah. His dad is 10. And the other principal. And then when you go to the sentence preview, it adds him in. Interestingly enough, it doesn't give you a space. Oh, because I don't have a space here. Piggy. There we go. Now you get your space. And that's what the recalculate, the sentence preview gets you. You can actually see the changes you make as in the preview down here. So then it'll say Frank Alexander and John Alexander were. So it picks the were up because there's now a second principal. Yeah. So, and that's, in my opinion, that's what that function is for when you've got those different kinds of verbs that go with different numbers of people.
Okay, I thought it took away.
And then it has different, you can also do it for tenses for the living one because it will pick up the correct tense for if somebody's still living versus somebody who is deceased.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there something in here?
Oh, God, no. We're way past the limit.
And it's not going to help either, because I have to be able to find it.
It is. It's somewhere in health. I'm positive it's somewhere in health. I wouldn't have found it otherwise. I'm going to click OK so we keep this tag. Yes. Okay, where was I? Okay, formatting. We just did a quick example of it with indenting, but there's plenty of examples for plenty of different kinds of formatting that can be done. Why didn't it click? There we go. Again, using the right click, you can add carriage returns so that you get a new paragraph. You can add tabs so that you get the first line indented. You can indent the whole thing, but only on the WordPerfect to a word processing program. You can center. So if you want to take an epitaph or something and center it on your in your report, you could do that. But again, only to word processing. You can put in those non-breaking spaces so that they the words roll together and don't break on you. You can add bold and underline and all that stuff. All that is available from the right-click menu. And you don't have to remember what the codes are because whatever you pick, it shows up right there. Some of these codes are pairs and some of them are individual codes. And I think they're covered. Yeah, like carriage return, it's just a single code. But like indent, it'll put a code at the beginning and it'll put a code at the end. So what you need to do for those is you select the text and then you add the code and it'll stick the codes in for you, which is really cool. Before they had those right-click menus, you had to remember how to do all that. That's where the NS cheat sheet came from, because you couldn't do it without it. But it's so much easier with the right-click and with the sentence preview, so you can figure out if it works. Okay. Let me go back to TMG. If you're doing editing and that kind of stuff in the tags of the memo and that kind of stuff, one of the things that I really suggest is that you turn on the editing toolbar. And I don't have even have the right thing open here. So new toolbar. Toolbars, text editing. This is, here we go.
Where is it?
It's right here. It's kind of grayed out because I'm not in anything where I can edit text. So let me just open up a tag. Once you open up a tag where you can actually do editing, this thing becomes, and I'm going to zoom in on it. It has undo, you know, redo, cut, check your spelling, all those kinds of things. The key are undo and redo. This is how you can undo stuff sometimes. Okay, and that's one of my toolbars that I almost always have open. The other key thing to do, if you're taking, a lot of us do this, you're taking something from someplace else and you're pasting it in to TMG. The best way to do that and not mess things up is to paste unformatted text. Instead of pasting it normally, you go right-click, paste unformatted text. If you just paste, it can pick up word processing codes and things from whatever you're cutting it from. And if you do paste unformatted text, it gets in there clean and you don't have this funky stuff happening that you can't figure out what it is because you can't see those codes in your memo, but they're there and they're messing things up. So that's just a way to get your sentences to not do weird things on you. Okay. Exercise. We haven't got that much time. See, I thought I was going to run out of time. Okay. Like I said before, you can add that PAR variable if you want to have that information. I ran out and I did it globally when I first found out about it, and I was like, really stupid. Because it was so repetitive. But all you do is what I showed you before, which was just add in, I'm going to unfilter. Okay, you just put it in with the conditional variable because you want to make sure that it doesn't show up when you don't know who the parents are.
Okay.
Yeah.
This
is the one where we're going to try and do the figure out why John isn't showing up. We'll see what happens here. He's showing up in the preview, but he's not showing up in the other one. Now I've.
Okay, that one.
Yeah.
It's
probably a surety problem, but what report was I printing? Individual narrative, right? Just in case we've changed it somehow, I'm going to run the last report we did, the journal, and we'll see if it's any different there. Okay. Frank Alexander, son of John Alexander and Delilah Woods, was born. Okay, so it worked there. Let's go back to report individual narrative. And create report. I'm just hoping it still shows wrong. May not show anything. Here we go. Okay. An unknown person. We're living. Oh, that's my residence tag. He, son of an unknown person, Delilah Woods. Okay, so there's definitely something wrong in that report setting.
When I did it, it worked.
Right. So somebody, obviously me, or somebody who used this one, if you go back to the individual narrative report, you can see he's got a dad. Okay, and it's primary. So that's not it. So we have to go into the options and try and figure out why it's not printing. First things first is threshold 3. That's it. Okay. If there's no threshold, then he's not going to print. There's no sureties on it. And it's possible there's no sureties on him. Let's go see. He's got a 3. I don't understand. All right, anybody else have any ideas? Options. Threshold, include blank, I'm going to do no threshold and include blank and run the report. The other one's quicker. I'm going to do the RTF without none. It works. I don't know. There must be some setting in there that doesn't have this one says 3 here though, and this is the relationship tag.
What server does it monitor?
That's the one I looked at. It's the same tag. If you remember, the relationship tags are the same tag, even though it says a different thing at the top. It's the same, it's two sides of the same tag. So it's a 3. I don't know what the problem is. What else was I supposed to cover here? Copy tags. We'll get to that in a second. Definitely should have picked a different person than him. Too much fun. Okay. So, one of the other ones that you can do is a lot of people, once they know about this memo thing, they actually go in and they globally add in the memo variable with the conditionals around it. And that way, for those tags that they know they want to put the memo in, they can get it in there. This is what the default sentence tag is supposed to be. He died, D-L-A. TMG out of the box comes with a role here as well as the principal and the witness. They're all actually roles. Principal is a role and witness is a role. But a named role is also deceased. It has the same sentence structure. And then witness is so-and-so witnessed the death of. I find the witness sentences, and I'm sure Paul will cover this next month, somewhat bland, because they almost always just say so-and-so witnessed, and it's not even necessarily a witness that in that sense of the word. So if you add the memo variable, then you can put in stuff like died at age 93 of old age. Or died at 39 of a massive whatever, you know. It's handy to put in occupation tags. So-and-so was a whatever or other, you know, that kind of stuff. And you can put it in without, and then you type in the memo, whatever it is they, you know, whatever their occupation was. And so. And one of the things you can do, and whoever's doing roles, you can do stuff like have different sentences for a spouse who's a witness to, you know, the death of their spouse. Say they became a widow when so-and-so died, or they became a widower, and that's where you would use the male and the female version. Okay? And you could do, you know, children, they were age whatever when their parents passed away, whatever. Okay? I'm sorry? Yeah, this is, I apologize, I don't know how it came out purple. I have no clue. And I also don't know, and I'm going to have to change the, I think it has to do with the style that I picked for the PowerPoint. It's also got these funky lines at the top and the bottom that you can't really see very well in the presentation, but when you're looking at it on your computer, you'll be able to see it, and some of the lines might go right through stuff on the bottom and everything. So I'm going to try and change the format, and then hopefully that will end up with these things being a little more visible, because they're like in light purple, and I have no idea how to change those. But basically, I've got as the resources, obviously, Cherry's chapter 11. There are two old presentations that I did, one in September of 08, and then one in June 11th in 2005. They're a lot longer and more extensive than this one, because we were just covering the basics. You go to the TMG Health and the User's Manual, obviously, getting the most out of the Mass Genealogist. Holy Gene Forum, there's all sorts of interesting stuff on there as well, but one of the things you may not know is that there is actually, it's not going to let me switch when I'm looking like that. I thought I had it right on here.
Oh,
yeah. No, not, yeah. Oh,
there. Right there.
When you go to the Holy Genes website, you go to support. Okay, and then if you scroll down, support forum, other. There is the sentence structure forum. Not used by a massive amount of people, but people put up sentence. There are sentence structures, or ask people about different sentence structures. So if you're looking to try and customize a sentence, you might want to look in the sentence forum. All sorts of interesting ones in there. Whoops. And then, of course, there's the TMG list. And Deanna's cheat sheets and Terry's stuff. And Terry's website is great. Okay. Any more questions?
I have the answer to the problem with the missing father.
Yeah.
The default on the report was three surety, and his father is only two.
Where does it say two?
Look at John.
Well, I was going to say, go back. If you look at his father tag, it says three.
That's the citation.
Where's the two?
Okay.
Because I don't know of a place to put a surety on the tag except for on the source.
Options. Threshold.
Oh, go back to yours.
Mine says two.
Put yours on. And she didn't move to put her computer over here so we could see what your question was.
Oh, okay, here's John. Let's see, what tag were we looking at?
I was looking at his father tag.
I have to.
Oh, you know what? Maybe under birth he's not.
That's what I was looking at.
So it wouldn't be John's birth, it would be Frank's birth, because it was Frank's birth sentence, I think. Ah, that could be it. Okay, let's go back there. Look at birth.
Yeah.
The birth tag is the sentence that was trying to print. Okay? And so there's a two for something. But then why would his mom show up and not his?
Mine says the same as yours, but created the report accurately. When I first ran the report, I had surety of zero and it printed. But when I moved it up to three, it didn't.
And this one has a two on one of them. But it doesn't have anything on two. And it doesn't have anything on P and M.
Look at the total security at the bottom.
There isn't a total. And then why? I don't know. I'm just, hang on. Yeah, and that's the only place you can have the surety. The sureties aren't, I don't think. Let's double check on the father tag. That's the citation, and it only has a three. And it has a three, so the three is still should have worked because it has a three on it.
Okay, you're looking at John?
I'm looking at the cancel out here. What I did is I'm in Frank, okay, and it was John who didn't print. Okay, so I just double clicked on the father. So the relationship tag is open, showing John as his father, Frank as his child. That should be the tag that TMG is using to print the PAR variable. What else could it use? It's got nothing else that would know that it was a parent.
Well, when I go into a John Alexander's name, just click on his name up there, and the two sources all have twos.
Maybe that's it. Maybe his name is what's messed up. Interesting. That could be it. Let's see. Back to what it was, so that we can see, we got it to print by having just no threshold and blank surety. Okay, so we're going to put three back on. We'll see what happens. That's why I use no sureties and blank threshold. Where is he? Oh, I'm on the wrong guy. Yeah. Sorry. Report. Because I ran the other report, those settings were saved, so I don't have to redo it. Son of John Alexander in the Rivalwood. What's his name? Interesting. Cool. Which is the problem with using three as your threshold. Because lots and lots and lots of things aren't threes. So you could end up with all sorts of unknowns in your sentence. Okay. Anything else? Any more questions? Now, what was your question again? I was trying to read. Yeah, I should have written it down. Ruth, okay. You fixed it already, so it doesn't matter, whatever it was. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You told me to do the settings.
Right.
When you're in the, you go to the narrative, the individual narrative, and then you go to the memo thing, and you change the at to in, and then when you go out of that, before you leave completely, you can save your settings, and you save your
Even if you don't run the report, you can play with all this, change the settings for that report. Remember, when you're doing it, it's only for that report. It's not for all of the TMG reports. And so if you can even, and you can save those report definitions, so you can have one where you use at and have one where you use in. Did I cover too much?
No.
Yeah. There was not enough material in Chapter 11 to cover 3 hours.
We'll have a chance next month to explore more of these sentences when we get into it.
Okay.
Yes.
I did find the use of that vertical bar in the conditional variable helps.
See, because it is in conditional variable. That makes sense.
Conditional.
Okay.
I was looking in event variables earlier.
But it says conditional variable.
It's under conditional variable. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense. It, the example of the living and the deceased is also in there. Yeah.
Well, it was a was living before living.
Well, I thought it was is living and live.
Yes, or in this case, they used the was and were.
Oh, okay. And if you're doing a local sentence, you really don't have to worry about conditional variables because you know what you've got in your sentence. Or if you just type your sentence into your memo.
That's why that's good for the memo, because